All right. Okay. All right. Good evening, everybody. Shkoach for coming, and whoever may be listening to this afterwards. Last week, we started a series on Hilchos Kashrus. We talked about waiting between eating meat and eating dairy. We spoke about the different ideas related to why you might not be able to eat dairy after eating meat. I'll just give you a brief synopsis of the two or three ideas that we mentioned last week, or the reasons why. We said maybe you're going to get meat stuck in your teeth, and therefore you need to wait a couple hours until either the meat is gone or the meat doesn't matter anymore. It's not halachically significant. If you want to turn on the air, by the way, they don't mind if the shalom is here somewhere. Okay, it's over here. If you want it, they're okay. That's fine. Also, they're fine. If you whatever you want to do. The other idea was that maybe there's some sort of taste left in your mouth after you eat meat. It wasn't clear exactly how or what. If it comes from your throat or it comes from the meat itself, it's not so clear. But whatever that is. And then the other idea is just to make a separation to make sure that you don't eat meat and milk together, meat and dairy together. So you have a separation of not eating at the same time. So tonight the question we're going to discuss is what happens after you have a nice, delicious piece of pizza or cheese lasagna. Okay, fine. If you get certain kinds of pizza, they're very fatty, right? very oily.
The fat is now pineapple on pizza.
What?
Have you ever heard that?
No.
Yeah, it's that pizza I'm talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
Pineapple on pizza.
America's crazy. That's crazy. You know, before we met Aliyah, we lived in Kew Gardens Hills, and there was a place there that actually had cholent pizza. Can you believe it? It was part of cholent, obviously, but I was like, what is this world coming to? You know, it's like almost, you know, even it's not actual dairy and meat together, but the idea is so much of a basar v'chalav idea of cholent and pizza. Like, who would want that, you know? But anyway, so let's say you have a piece of pizza or a piece of cheese or lasagna or something like that, or we'll discuss later about milk. But let's say a solid dairy food, okay? And then you finish your dinner and you're still hungry, okay? So 15 minutes later, you're still hungry, or your children are hungry, and you decide you want to have leftovers from Shabbos, chicken or real cholent with meat, you know, like the real, those of us who have real cholent, you know, meat or whatever, bisari cholent, something like that. Is that allowed? And if so, how do you do it? Scenario number two, very similar, is let's say not this time of year, but on Shavuos. Okay, many people have a custom on Shavuos to have meat and to have dairy. Okay, you want to have meat because there's a mitzvah of having Simchas Yom Tov, of having meat on Yom Tov, especially as males, we all like meat. Maybe not, but let's assume for now that we all like meat. So some people have a custom of having meat and dairy at the same meal on Yom Tov. Dairy because there's a special idea of having dairy on Shavuos. And the question is, number one, is that allowed? And number two, if it's allowed, how do you do it in the proper way? So what do you think? Based on the ideas we gave last week about having a separation, an idea of meat stuck between your teeth and having a taste in your mouth, which of those things would you think might be relevant to this question of starting with the dairy and then going to the meat? Okay, separation definitely has to be. The question is, how much of a separation there has to be? So obviously you're not going to eat at the same time. I guess the question would be, can you eat at the same meal? Okay, and if not, how do you separate your meal from, how do you make one meal into a second meal and not make it part of the same meal? Okay. Okay, so that's what we saw last time in terms of meat. We mentioned that you probably have to bench in between. Okay, so that's a possibility. We'll have to discuss that as we go along. What else would you say? Anything else that needs to be done? Makes sense?
Change the type of clothes.
Change the clothes?
Tablecloth.
Okay.
Everything on the table.
Okay, so the same idea as benching, meaning basically completely show that you're having a separate meal with nothing related to the first meal. Okay, so that's one possibility, which we'll see. What about other things? Is there anything else that you might be worried about?
Waiting.
Okay, how long would you think maybe you have to wait?
Maximum half an hour.
Okay.
And wash your
Why?
Mouth.
Why would you need to wait, or why would you need to wash your mouth out?
The separation.
Okay.
Cleaning your
getting stuck in your teeth.
Fine. Okay. So what would get stuck in your teeth? The pizza cheese?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Seder. That's a possibility. Okay, good. So we have some good ideas here. Let's see in the makoros, or some of these makoros here, what they say. And we'll see, obviously it's much easier than waiting after meat. But at the same time, there's a couple things that you need to do, and the details of exactly what you need to do are actually a little bit trickier than it comes to meat. Okay, so let's see here what some of them say. You look at source number one. Thank you to Moshe for printing these out. So the Gemara says here in source number one, this is the same Gemara we saw last week. Achal basar, amar rechista, achal basar, asur lechol gvina. Okay, if you eat meat, you cannot eat dairy right away. Gvina mutar lechol basar. But if you eat cheese, okay, so then you can eat meat. Okay, it doesn't mean at the same time, but it seems to mean right afterwards. One second, do you have to wait? Do you have to do something? Do you have to wash out your mouth? It doesn't say anything, right? So what do we do now? So it seems pretty makil. Okay, if we stop right here, you might get stuck. Okay, you might start doing something, which shalom. You might get stuck and do something which maybe is not correct. But from the Gemara, it sounds like in the Gemara that you're allowed to just eat meat right away. So if you say that, the only problem is that you didn't read on the daf there. Okay, where this comes from is Seches Chulin on daf Kufhei. So you got to read on. Okay, there's more things that you need to do. So if you look at source number two. Here, you can come closer if you like, or you could sit. There's plenty of seats here. If you look closer at source number two, so Beis Hillel, that's Bet Hay, is Beit Hillel. So they say you have to do two things, okay, in addition to whatever else we're going to say. It says, Beis Hillel Omri Mediach V'hu Adin L'Mekaneach, okay? Anyone know what Mediach and Mekaneach are, or what they might be?
Dishwasher.
Dishwasher, okay. So you missed one word. If you're talking about dishwasher, Mediach, you got to add the word Kelim. Otherwise, you're... That's dishwasher, right? Mediach kelim. What? Mesis mediach. Okay, fine. We have another direction. Okay, we're going to talk about avodah zarah. All right, if you're inciting people to worship idolatry. Okay, I hope that nobody's meat and dairy is going to involve idolatry here. Bezrat Hashem. But what does the word mediach mean? So in this context, it doesn't mean to incite. It doesn't mean like avodah zarah. But it means like what you said, to wash. Okay? What does mekaneach mean? Anybody know?
Like kinoach.
Kinoach, what's that?
Separation.
Like okay. The word kinoach probably doesn't mean that.
Didn't we say that last week?
We may have, but we did, that may not be what the word kinoach means.
Kinoach is dessert. No?
So it's a modern Hebrew, kinoach is dessert. So we're going backwards here. That's the wrong way to do this. And the Gemara probably didn't mean dessert in this case.
Same.
Right. Yeah, there's other cases where maybe it does mean something closer to dessert or something closer to some part of the meal. In this case, lekaneach actually means to wipe. Okay. The question is, what does that mean? Okay, very nice. So we're talking about wiping and rinsing and washing. Now what? What do I do? And how do I know what I'm supposed to do? So the Rishonim actually have a big discussion about what this means here. But the bottom line is that most poskim agree.
So they still argue on Rechista?
Not necessarily. They're qualifying. It's the other way around. Okay, meaning that Beis Hillel came first. Okay. But Rechista is basically saying that you're allowed to eat right away, meaning perhaps... We'll see that you don't have to have a separation. Meaning, as opposed to after eating meat, you have to wait 6 hours or 3 hours or 1 hour, whatever whatever it is. So when it comes to the other way around, you're allowed to do it right away. It's a contrast he's making. Beis Hillel is telling you, even if you eat right away, you still have to do a couple things first. Okay. I'll just tell you what the bottom line, what the people say, the poskim say that made diach, and there's different options. But bottom line is that one of the two things is rinsing out your mouth, and one of the two things is washing, but we don't know what washing means. So we'll see in the Rish Shulchan Aruch, it may mean either to wash your hands, or it may mean to wash out your mouth, and then you got to figure out what's the difference between rinsing your mouth and washing your mouth. And the answer they say, as we'll see in a minute, is that one is a liquid and one is a solid. Okay, meaning you can't just say, I'm going to have my mouth clean, but you need to actually make sure that your mouth is clean from dairy by rinsing it out and by
eating
something. Oh, so that's what we're going to see in a second in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Shalom, shalom. You don't have to stay if you don't want to. But if you want to take the source sheet and run or record or... Okay. Okay, yeah. So it seems there's a few points. Okay, so one point is in the mouth. And then we'll see, afterwards, and maybe there's another point about a separation also, or maybe your hands. Okay, so let's put this together. Okay, and I left a lot of stuff along the way here, obviously. There's a lot of things in the Rishonim. But just one point in the source number three in the Rashba, quoted in the Beis Yosef, he explains what happened to getting meat stuck between your teeth. Okay, we said last week, that maybe one of the reasons why you have to wait for 6 hours or at least 3 hours after eating meat is that we're afraid you might have meat stuck in between your teeth. Okay, or you have a taste in your mouth. Why is it not shayach here? Meaning, why are we not worried about that here? So he says, the Rashba says, Shatam shemutr lechol basar achar gvina miyad, huvnei shagvina rakahi, ve'ena misakeves b'ena shinayim. Okay, cheese is raka. What's raka? Soft, right? So cheese is soft, and cheese doesn't get stuck in between your teeth. Now, you might beg to differ, because you told me before that you thought that you should wait after eating cheese before you eat meat, right? You might get cheese, but... Okay, good. So we're already jumping here.
You said pizza.
You're right. Okay, fine. Good. Okay. So let's talk about not, I don't know how to figure this out. Some kind of cheese apparently is what we would call soft cheese. And some kind of cheese would not get stuck in between your teeth. Okay, now obviously there's a lot of different kinds of cheeses. Okay, if you go to the cheese counter in the supermarket, you'll find like 15 different kinds of cheeses. Okay, you have the mozzarella cheese and the Bulgarian cheese and the pizza cheese and the this cheese and the fancy cheese and the Swiss cheese and the this, you know.
He's in Svat with Svati cheese.
Svati cheese, okay, I can't tell you the difference. But and there's cream cheese and there's this cheese and there's that cheese. You know, it's ridiculous already. Okay. What? Cottage, you're right, cottage cheese also, that's also a question. When it comes to other halachas, that cottage cheese is even more interesting when it comes to Gvina Sakum. There's a whole big question about that, which is not so relevant in Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, but here, I guess you have a question here also. So which cheese are we talking about?
Cottage cheese be different from any other?
It's a good question, so we have to see in a minute. But again, the question is like this, is there any cheese where you might be afraid that the cheese gets stuck in between your teeth? Okay. Cottage cheese, probably not, you're right. But the question is, might there be some cheese where it does get stuck in between your teeth? The Rosh was saying, there's not. It doesn't happen like that. Okay, and based on that, that's why he says you don't have to wait after you eat dairy, after you eat cheese, you don't have to wait. Okay, we'll come back to the question of maybe there is some cheese that's an exception to the rule in just a minute. Let's put it together now in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, source number 4. So this is the bottom line of what you have to do. Okay, Achal Gvina, he says, Mutar Lachal Achar Basar. Okay, that's what we saw in the first source. You're allowed to eat dairy right afterwards. Miyad, immediately. Okay, you don't have to wait. Uvilvad she'ayin yadav shelo yeh shum dar me'agvin nidbak b'hem. The first thing you need to do is you have to look at your hands. Okay, this is one interpretation of the word mekaneach, to wash off your hands. So some people say that means what he says here, that you don't necessarily have to wash your hands, but you got to look at them. Why? Because if you were busy eating your pizza, and pizza is a good example, because how do you eat your pizza usually? Us Americans at least eat with their hands, right? Do Europeans also eat pizza with their hands? For I see. Okay.
No. With my hand.
Were you joking or are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Serious. Serious. No, but the fork and the knife was the joke. Okay. Even in Europe. Even in Hungary and even in fancy places, they eat pizza. Do they eat pizza in Europe?
2 years ago, where?
All right, so people know what pizza is, right? It's not just Italy or whatever. All right, fine. So pizza you might eat with your hands, okay? Lasagna and other things you might eat with a fork and a knife. But it's certainly, at least in my house, for sure, you know, there's a concern that maybe your hands might get dirty. Okay, certainly if you eat with your hands, and maybe even if you eat with a fork and knife, that's going to be a question. But certainly if you eat with your hands, and either way, it's a good idea. The Shulchan Aruch says you need to check your hands first to make sure there's no cheese that's stuck to your hands. Okay, v'imhaya balayla, if it's a nighttime, when, again, they didn't have electricity, so it was hard for them to see. She'eni ochol ayin osam heitev, tarach l'rachtum, then you got to wash it off. Okay, today we have light. You can look at your hands, but sometimes, if you look at your hands, can you always see pieces of dairy or whatever if they're on your hands? If it's oily or whatever? You feel it. So you could feel it, maybe. You could check it by going like this. If you ask me personally, I recommend washing them all the time. Okay, from the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like maybe you don't actually have to wash them. You just got to check them very carefully. But because you don't always notice, or because maybe you didn't feel so well, even if it was oily and you didn't feel, it's probably the best thing to do is probably to rinse off your hands. But if you don't want to rinse off your hands, definitely to check them and to feel them carefully to make sure there's no dairy. So that's condition number one. Okay, you do that. That's one thing. Okay, why? Because again, you want to make sure that there's not going to be any mixture of meat and dairy. Okay, number two, b'tzarach lekaneach pivul hadicha. You got to do kinuach and hadzacha, as we said before. What are they? So the Shulchan Aruch gives you his interpretation of which one is which. V'akinuach u'sheyelos pas v'yekaneach bo piv yafe. Okay, you got to chew bread and you got to get your mouth clean. Okay, v'chein b'chol davar shi'ata or anything else. Here he's basically saying you need to eat something solid. Okay, it doesn't have to be bread, but you basically need to wash out your mouth with something solid. Why do you think that is?
Bread.
Right, why do you think that you need to do that? Yeah, exactly. Okay, either to dislodge
the
or
taste.
The taste, okay, fine. Meaning anything like that, basically, meaning we're worried that the cheese, even if cheese is soft, there still might be taste or residue or something left in your mouth from the cheese, and we don't want to have you having cheese and meat in your mouth at the same time. Okay, we spoke about last week that the derisa is only if they're hot, but even if they're cold, it's still a serious derabanan. We want to make sure that doesn't happen. So therefore, you got to make sure that you eat something solid before you eat your.
Do you think there's an issue with mixing the taste of milchig and fleshy?
So
or just like.
Yeah. Right, so we saw last week, we said that there is some idea that the meat brings some sort of taste into your mouth. It's not clear exactly what that means, and it's not clear exactly if that happens here with the dairy. So the technical answer probably would be no, but the real answer is, well, you know, when you're putting bread in your mouth, or you eat, let's say, you know, something like this, here, open these up, something like this, crackers or something, so you're basically getting the taste of the cheese out of your mouth, probably. Again, I've never tried it, you should try it. I mean, I've tried it when you need to, but I'm saying, and I never actually paid attention to it. You know, if you had.
What are you thinking about exactly? Because, like, for example, the example of the Cholent pizza. I'm saying it has a taste.
That's my question.
I'm saying.
Is it a problem? It's like avak vosor v'cholov.
Right. Avak vosor v'cholov. It's a good one.
Avak vosor v'cholov. But it's not. It's just,
it's resembles. Right. So technically speaking, it should be okay. But the question is, again, you know, if you have bread, and we'll see in the next line, keep reading here. He says, there's three things you can't use for salads, which is flour, tamari is dates, and yiraka is a certain kind of green vegetables. Because they get stuck to the side of your mouth. Okay, they don't wipe it out well. But then he says, the next part, then you got to rinse out your mouth with water as well, or with wine. Let's keep this. Sorry, the next line we'll have to do afterwards, but it's not, we don't pass them that way. Anyway, the idea is that you have to do all the things. You have to wash your hands, or rinse your hands, or check your hands, and then you have to basically rinse out your mouth with eating bread or some sort of salad, and you also have to have water or a drink. So the question is, you have a drink, okay, which could be, they say water or wine, but it's the same thing for any drink. Okay, the Poskim say it's the same thing for apple juice or soda or whatever.
It's like between fish and meat.
So that's, we'll have to get to a different time. That's a wholly different issue, because that has to do more with danger of some sort of medical problem, which we don't really understand. But it's not really an issue of mixing. Okay, I mean, mixing fish and meat together is okay, and mixing fish and milk together is probably okay. It's a separate issue. But here, the question is, if you have a drink and you have your bread, so are you going to have any taste left in your mouth at all? Anyway, I mean, even if you're right, there is a question of taste, which there might be. Is the taste going to be gone? So what do you think? Try it next time. You don't have to eat meat right away, but you're saying try it. Have some, something with cheese, and then try having a drink and having some sort of salad, something afterwards. Cracker, cookie, or for health people, even a vegetable, not a green vegetable, but, let's say an apple maybe, or, a piece of bread or something like that. Are you going to have the taste of the cheese still in your mouth afterwards? I don't know the answer. I would think probably not. I would assume probably not, but I can't tell you 100%. So, if you still have it in your mouth, let's say if it's something like very, very strong cheese, even the cheese in Israel is very tasty. Okay, in America we have American cheese. Okay, that American cheese doesn't taste like anything, right? As you remember. What is that?
Miller.
Yeah, you remember that? It's been a long time since you've been. Yeah, so it doesn't taste, it's not as tasty as Israeli cheese. My kids like it, we think it's fine anyway, but I'm saying if you have like a strong tasting cheese though, so it could be that maybe after you do things, maybe you will still have a taste in your mouth, I don't know. I think the goal of the halacha is that you'll get the taste out, but the main point is to make sure that you have no residue in your mouth.
Physically.
So, yeah, I mean, physical residue is the main point. The taste might also be an issue, but it seems like that's like the, it's not the main thing. So if you still tell me you have taste of cheese in your mouth afterwards, you like feel it or something, but there's nothing actually there because you washed out your mouth well, so maybe that's good enough. So then I would tell you that you probably are still allowed to eat meat. You don't have to wait any longer. Okay, so those are the main things that you have to do here. The Shulchan Aruch says, we're not going to do this inside now, but he says maybe that if you're talking about chicken, that maybe chicken is... you don't have to do these things. Maybe for chicken, you don't have to wash out your mouth. But I think it's generally accepted that we do that for chicken also. Okay, meaning even though chicken is like a lower grade meat than halachically also than regular cow meat, but I think halachalamaisa we still are machmir to make sure you do all these things for chicken. Okay, all right. So again, summarize: we have to wash our hands or check our hands. We have to put solid in our mouth, and we have to put liquid in our mouth. Okay, good. Any questions before we go to the next couple details here about these cases? No. We're good? Okay. All right, so here are a couple questions to think about. All right, let's start with this question. Does the same thing apply when you drink milk? All right, I mean, we're talking about cheese here in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say you have a glass of milk. This question came up actually last week. Somebody who was, I happened to be in the shul working, this question came up where somebody was asking about this. Let's say you only have milk. You're having a glass of milk. Because you want to be healthier, I don't know what. You don't have any other drinks at home that you like. That happens to my kids all the time. They don't like water. I'm trying to get them used to it, but some of them still, they want to drink milk. Okay, and then it's time for dinner 5 minutes later, or lunch, or whatever meal you have your bisari at. So the question is, yes, you can like rinse out your mouth, and yes, you can eat bread, or you can eat something else. Do you have to do all three things if you just have milk? What do you think?
No, it's fluid.
Okay, and therefore...
It's very starch,
so. Okay, so which things do you think you would have to do? Which things do you think you wouldn't have to do? Drink water. You do or you don't have to drink water?
You do.
Yeah. Do. Okay, fine. Why would you make sense that you have to drink water or have a drink?
It's a liquid.
Exactly right. I mean, the milk is a liquid, so if you want to get the taste of the milk or whatever is in your mouth from the milk.
But the issue is getting stuck in your teeth.
Right.
So, and we said that you have to drink something afterwards, water or wine.
Okay.
Or any other drink.
Right.
Perhaps this doesn't even count.
Okay, Good. So in terms of that, you're probably right. The question is, what's the point of the water? Okay. And also, what about your hands? Meaning, is there any chance that you might have milk on your hands after you drink from a cup? Even in those days, they drank with cups. They may not have used silverware back in the 1500s or 1400s, but cups they definitely used. So that's also a question. You have to do that.
And also that waiting can substitute to washing or drinking something.
Oh, okay. So we'll get to waiting. I didn't get to that yet. We're getting to that in a couple minutes. Okay, but let's assume now we're eating right away. So I'll tell you what the Dark Age Shuva, one of the Achronim, I think it was the Munkacher Rav, if I remember correctly, one of the Munkacher Ravanim. So he wrote a sefer called the Dark Age Shuva on the Shulchan Aruch. And he quotes the Rashash, one of the Mefarshim at the end of the Gemara, the back of the Gemara. So they say that the drinking you do have to do. Why? Because apparently they feel that even if there's no pieces stuck in between your teeth, whatever you said before, and I'll tell you about the taste, there is some sort of idea of a residue of taste in your mouth. Or even if it's not taste, but the residue, there's still, you know, maybe little tiny droplets of milk stuck in your mouth somewhere, perhaps. Okay, so if you drink a drink, that's going to get out either the taste or the residue of the milk in your mouth. But they say that the solid, the bread or the crackers, you don't have to do. Why? Because that's more designed to get rid of pieces of solid that might be in your mouth or in your teeth, and that we don't have if you have milk, assuming that your milk is not sour and it went bad already, in which case you don't want to be drinking it anyway. But in that case, so then, you know, you don't have to do that. You would not have to eat any solid. And in terms of your hands, they say also you don't have to wash your hands. Okay, why? Because your hands is concerned that maybe you were touching the food, but if you were not touching the food because it was milk, so in that case, they would say that you don't have to wash your hands either. Okay, so that's a very important nafkamina between having milk.
And on the other hand, if you do have milk on your hands, say it pours or something, it's not
that
it spills.
Okay, good. So you're right. So you're right. So you could, one could argue with that opinion. Okay, in terms of the hands, it's definitely possible.
You know, I
think it's not that hard to look. So I would say it's a good idea to look anyway. Right. And the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say. Okay, it's not clear. The Dark Age Shuva is like, you know, 500 years later. So you could definitely say that the Shulchan Aruch would say otherwise. And I think even the Dark Age Shuva would agree that if you know your hands are dirty, you for sure have to wash them. I guess what he's saying is that if you don't know they're dirty or they seem like they're clean, do you need to like inspect them like this, or do you need to go wash them off?
Inspect them like that. We said before after cheese.
Maybe yes. Yeah, so that's what he's saying. You don't have to do that. You don't have to inspect them. But if you know that they're dirty, you know that they have some. You know, maybe then you should wash them off. Okay, so that's what they say about drinking milk. Okay, now what about today? So this I don't think I put on the sheet. But you can discuss today if you use a fork and a knife. You know, do you still have to worry about washing your hands off or rinsing your hands off? What do you think?
Probably not.
Okay, so I think it's a machlokas achronim. It makes sense that you wouldn't have to, because if you're eating with a fork and knife and you're clean, then, you know, and sometimes parents should also, okay? And again, if anybody who still has young children here, I often get my hands dirty during mealtime because I'm cutting my kids' food or I'm sticking it on their plate, and, you know, I would venture to say that there's a good, that even if you use silverware, you should still do it. You should still wash it off. But again, it depends. If you know that you're that's not going to happen to you. So there are definitely some posts that say that you don't have to wash your hands off. Okay. Next question. The following question. Okay. The Shavuos question. Do you need to bench or say a bracha achrona after you eat your dairy, or can you go straight to eating meat? Okay. Based on what we said so far, does it say anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch? We spoke about, you know, making a separation in terms of meat. But in terms of dairy, did the Shulchan Aruch say that you have to finish your meal? Or can you just go straight from one to the other? Okay, you had your milk or you had your something, and then you want to have, you know, maybe you'll make another bracha or something, but you don't make a bracha achrona. Okay, do you have to do that? Or on Shavuos, if you have the same meal, you made hamotzi, and now you want to move over to your meat part of your meal. So you'll clean off the table, obviously, because you don't want to have the same tablecloth, like you said before.
Probably.
But do you have to stop, you have to bench and wash all over again?
Oh, probably because you change everything. It's kind of shinoi.
Okay, so you say that... Right.
You know, so you have to.
So you think that you should have to bench?
Should, and then...
Okay. All right, so take a look here at the Mishnah Berurah in source number 5. It might surprise you. Look what he says here. Who's that?
I was going to disagree.
Okay. He says, in source number 5, the Mishnah Berurah says, and this, by the way, the Mishnah Berurah is in Hilchos Shavuos, okay, if you haven't figured out yet, in Kashrus, in Yoredeah, the section of the Shulchan Aruch that Kashrus is in is Yoredeah. It's the second section of the Shulchan Aruch. So there's no Mishnah Berurah there. Okay. So you wonder, where did this Mishnah Berurah come from here? He's not on the... Mm-hmm. He's not talking about Kashrus, but it's in the Halachas of Shavuos, actually. So in the Halachas of Shavuos, he talks about this question very briefly, and he says, "V'eino tzarich lahafsik bevirkas hamazon." You don't have to bench in between. "Im eino ochal gvina kasha." Okay, gvina kasha we'll get back to in a few minutes, about the hard cheese. "Ela yekaneach piv yafe." All you have to do is wash out your mouth well. We said before, okay, solid food, liquid food, via diach. Rinse your mouth out with liquid and maybe wash your hands. That's fine. So the Mishnah Berurah apparently says you don't have to bench in between, interestingly enough. Okay, meaning everything else you do is enough of a separation between the dairy and the meat that you don't need to bench. Okay, as opposed to after you meet. So after you meet, we discussed last week, there were some opinions, the very lenient opinions, that said that you can just eat dairy right away. Okay, but they said you have to bench in between. Okay, here, for dairy, it seems like once you're already washing out your mouth, and you're washing your hands, and you're, you know, rinsing out your mouth with liquid or whatever, it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah says you don't have to bench. All right? Interestingly enough. But there are some that disagree. Okay, the Darkei Tshuva and a few others say that maybe you should bench in between.
Because if you take it seriously, you really, you know, go to the bathroom to wash and everything, you leave your table.
Right.
So coming back, it's like a Shinui Vakoyim.
Okay, so you're saying that that's why it would make sense that you should.
Probably should bench.
Okay, so again, that's what the Darkei Tshuva says. He says that, you know, really you have to make a separation. And even though, yes, you're rinsing out your mouth and this and that, but, you know, the point is Chazal had in mind that you have to have a major separation between the two of them. Otherwise, you know, you might forget to wash out your mouth, you might this, you know, it's better to just have them separate. People on Shavuos that do eat, I don't know if you know anybody that does that, we've never done in our family before, we keep our things separate, it's too hard. But people that do, I think some people do bench in between and some people don't. There's different minhagim about it. So it could go both ways. Okay, next question. Does anybody say that you have to wait at all between after eating dairy? So you suggested before maybe you need to wait a certain amount of time. How much did you say? Half an hour?
Half an hour.
Right. Anybody actually say you have to wait? So in the Shulchan Aruch, did the Shulchan Aruch say anything about waiting? He just said you got to rinse out your mouth. Did he say you have to wait? Didn't say you have to wait. However, there are some poskim that say that you do need to wait. Okay? It's based on the Zohar. Right? The Zohar has an idea, which I don't think I put on the sheet here, but the Zohar has an idea that maybe you need to wait an hour or half an hour after eating dairy before eating meat. Okay? So people that follow the Zohar, so they would say, Meshach, what's also, by the way, Meshach, one of the Farshim in Yardea, he says also you have to wait at least half an hour, maybe an hour. It's not like required, but it seems like, according to some, have the custom, it's a good idea to wait. Again, just have some sort of separation to make sure you don't mess up. Do you need to wait? No. Do I wait? No. I don't wait. But some people have a family custom where they wait at least half an hour or an hour. If you have the custom, you probably should follow it. And if you want to take it on, you know, by all means, it's a good thing to take on. You don't, you know. If you're looking for chumras, okay? I guess the topic of discussion here is not whether it's good to have chumras or not. That we could talk about a different time. But if you're looking for something to take on, you know, a nice extra chumra to take on, so this is a nice one to take on, but you don't need to, and it's not halacha, and it's not even, you know, not everybody even recommends it. Okay, again, as I said before, I don't do it. And all the posts don't say you have to do it. It's nice if you want to have a separation, so, you know, if you have a family custom, so you can do that. Okay, good. Ready for the last question, which is probably the most interesting one. Any other questions before we do the last question? No? Okay. The last question here. So is there any situation where maybe you would say that for eating dairy, you have to wait longer than, you know, rinsing out your mouth or half an hour or an hour? Meaning, is there any case where we're really worried that, you know, you might get pieces of cheese or something else stuck in your teeth, or it might be longer and you have to wait the same amount as if you ate meat? So we said before about the pizza cheese that maybe you might be worried, maybe that pizza cheese gets in your mouth. Okay? So take a look here. All right? Back in the Ramah, source number 4. So the Ramah says here the following. It's the second paragraph of source number 4. He says, Hagav, yesh machmirim, afilu basar achar gvina. Even after they eat cheese, before they eat meat, some people are machmir, you need to wait. And then he says, v'chein nagin, shekol sha gvina kasha ein ochlin achar afilu basar uf. Okay, and that's the custom, that any time that the cheese is hard, you don't eat even chicken or certainly regular meat afterwards. Kmo b'vina achar basar, just like eating cheese after eating meat. Okay? V'yesh makilin, and some are lenient. V'ein limchos, don't protest, don't throw a fuss if you're lenient. Rakshi asakinach v'adachav until sadaim, just make sure you do the things we said before, washing your mouth out and washing your hands, whatever. Mi'o tov l'hachmir, he says, but it's good to be machmir. So what's he saying here? Okay, how long is he saying you have to wait for hard cheese in the Ramah here?
Same as you would for...
Right, which is either 6 hours, maybe 3 hours. How long do you wait for meat?
Six.
You would say full six. Okay,
no,
good.
Into the six.
Okay, that we discussed a little bit last week, how that works. Whatever it is that you wait for meat, though, the Ramah is saying here, and this is what's generally followed, you got to wait the same thing for hard cheese also. Okay? The question is, what's defined, at least for Ashkenazim. Okay, for Sephardim, it's not so clear, by the way. Sephardim have a whole big discussion about this. Let's do Ashkenazim first. What is defined as hard cheese, though? Okay, what is hard cheese? What would you think hard cheese is based on anything? Is pizza cheese considered to be hard cheese? Is you know, other cheese, you know, yellow cheese that you buy in the store, American cheese you buy in America, cream cheese, anything else?
You can't buy today.
Cheddar, maybe.
This kind
cheddar,
of cheese.
Okay. Why do you say cheddar would be hard cheese?
You need like a slicer. You need like a...
Okay, it's really hard.
Yeah.
And what does it do in your mouth?
It stays there.
It stays there, right? Okay. Okay, good. So you think we don't have cheeses like that today?
Probably, because...
Definitely not as common, that's for sure. The question is there any type of cheese like that?
Probably if worms.
Worms.
Going into that cheese.
Okay. Okay, good. It sounds a little disgusting if worms are going into your cheese, but you know what else we call that? Take a look here. That's right. If you eat the worms, but eating the worms is a different issur also. We don't want to get into that. No, we don't want to be eating bugs, and you're over a lot of other issurim. This is only drabbanan we're talking about here. If you're eating worms already. Yeah, probably. Yeah, there's a lot more issurim that are involved. So take a look here. The Shach says in source number 6, Shekol Shach Vina Kasha. He says, generally speaking, if the cheese is 6 months old, meaning it was aged for 6 months, then it's called hard cheese. Okay? Here. Okay, so the question is, how do you know a man? How do you define what's hard cheese? How do you know which cheeses are aged for 6 months? Can you tell if you go to the cheese counter in the store which things are cheeses that are aged for 6 months? Do you know? So you mentioned cheddar cheese, Arthur, right? I think cheddar cheese is one of the cheeses that they assume was aged for a long time. Anybody know how to age cheeses? You know how this works?
Soak them in salt. And
it comes like in a block of, say, like Swiss cheeses also.
Oh, so Swiss is another one. Right. Basically what they do, here, there's a whole long thing here, which some of it I printed out for you. This is in English. There's an article here, which is on. I think it's an article from the OU, but I found it on the YU website. I'm not going to read the whole thing now, but basically he gives a whole background here about eating the hard cheese. If you can read it to yourself later, but here, take a look on the third page over here, right where the numbers start. Here, where the numbers 1, 2, and 3 start. Okay. He says there are three basic positions among American poskim, and we'll see, by the way, the Israeli poskim also take some of these positions, and the kosher agencies which they guide, regarding how to determine which types of cheese require one to wait after consuming them before then partaking of meat. Let's take a look at the three options here. Okay? Some poskim advance a quite conservative, lowercase c, of course, position in categorizing hard cheese. These posts can look exclusively to the cheese texture and only require a waiting period for cheese, which is so brittle such it shreds or grates when cut, unable to be sliced. The vast majority of cheeses do not fit into this category. Parmesan is the only common cheese which meets this extremely limited definition of hard cheese. Okay, so this is like really, really, really hard cheese that you really basically can't cut it at all. I mean, it just crumbles when you try to cut it. And that basically would be Parmesan cheese. Okay, but according to this, and everybody would probably agree that if you take the schumra of the Ramah, that Parmesan cheese, you would probably have to wait 6 hours or 3 hours, whatever it is, for that type of cheese. Okay, number two. Other poskim and kosher agencies take a totally different approach. They hold that if cheese is 6 months old, that's based on the shach, it requires a waiting period regardless of the cheese's texture. In fact, these poskim and agencies assure, by use of production date codes, that the consumer is knowledgeable of the date of manufacture of any cheese they certify so that the consumer can easily determine when the product has become 6 months old. And then, I'm skipping a little bit here, just look the next line. He gives a few examples here. Many varieties of cheese, Munster and Provolone and cheddar, some kinds of cheddar, are not always aged by their manufacturers for significant periods of time. However, these cheeses may become 6 months old or more by the time they arrive on the consumer's table, as they are well-preserved and are able to remain fresh for extended durations. So the poskim advise, this group of poskim advise, that one wait before eating meat after consuming such unintentionally aged cheese, whereas other poskim and kosher agencies do not endorse waiting period in such cases. Okay, so basically here's the question: what does it mean to wait to be aged? You know, to age 6 months. Does that mean that it's 6 months from when it was made until it gets to your house? What does it mean 6 months in terms of the actual aging period when they're actually making the cheese? Okay, when they make the cheese, they let it age before they put it together and actually, you know, package it to sell it. They wait at that point for 6 months. So that, we'll see in a minute in section number 3. Basically, this category of number 2 is not quite as clear what's included. But certainly, again, your regular cheeses that you buy in the store, except for the very strong ones, are probably not going to be included in that. Okay? And number 3, a third arguably more complex but quite textually grounded approach, and this is what many posts can follow, is that cheese must be aged for approximately 6 months in order to attain proper, very firm texture and cheese of any age which has a potent aftertaste are categorized as hard cheeses for the purposes of waiting after their consumption. So basically, you have a three-month cheese, which is basically very strong, okay, that might be included. And if you have a six-month cheese, which is basically aged for 6 months in its processing, so then that also might be included. So basically, he mentions here, if you skip to the end of that paragraph, waiting after Romano cheese, which I wouldn't even know how to identify it if I saw it. Swiss cheese would also be in this category. And I mentioned before, cheddar cheese probably also in this category. Again, he gives you more examples here on the bottom, examples of exactly how this ages. Okay, how it actually ages. We're not going to read it inside now. You can take a look here. He says that they're left to sit for a day to several weeks in order to drain the excess liquid out, and then they get the curd, which is the cheese mass, and that stiffens and dries, and then they age it again. They have another stage where they age it again afterwards, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Very, very interesting. Okay, another example here they give is feta cheese, which is a Greek cheese. Take a look at the last part of the paragraph. He gives you examples of different cheeses and how long they're aged for. Okay, so you could see most of the cheeses here are not aged for long enough to be a problem if you follow the six-month approach. But again, you see the Swiss cheese from Switzerland, Switzerland is 6 to 14 months. Swiss cheese, which is made in America, is actually only 3 to 4 months, so that's not as much of a problem. Again, we mentioned before maybe the feta cheese and maybe the cheddar cheese. Cheddar cheese, you say, is 2 months to 2 years or longer, so that might be included as well. Okay, anyway, that's all. A lot of the American poskim based on the Shachan, Rav Aaron Cutler, and a number of other poskim that hold that way. Okay, in Israel, there are some poskim here in Eretz Israel that are more machmir. Okay, some poskim here say that basically, if you have the yellow cheese in the store, regularly the yellow cheese you buy in the store, Gvinat Tzuva, okay, they hold that's also considered to be hard cheese. Now, that obviously would make life a lot more difficult for us, but can you understand why, though? Does it make sense? No? You don't think so?
Lasts a long time.
Definitely doesn't make sense.
Okay. So what they're going to say here, I'll read this to you from the Tzur Merabanan booklet here. So he says here, based on that, I'll tell you who in the postcom here talks about it. Rav Vosner, the Shevet Halevi, is Machmir. And I think there Shlomo Zalman Orbach is actually also Machmir, believe it or not. So he says that... that a lot of them are basically, even if they're less than 6 months, they're less for age than 6 months, but basically he says some of them might be aged for 6 months and you can't always tell which one is which. And then that's one idea, which again, one could argue with that, but that's what he says, and it could be true. I don't know if you just go to the cheese counter, would you actually be able to tell if one of the cheeses was aged for 6 months? I'm not sure. So he says maybe you should be machmir based on that. Also, the idea could be, I think Rav Yashav says this, it's not in the book, but I think Rav Yashav also says that maybe the idea of the waiting, that maybe there might be pieces of cheese stuck in your mouth, it could be that with yellow cheese, that maybe that does happen. I don't know. I haven't found it so much myself, but I could see that maybe some of the kind of yellow cheeses that actually might happen. And even if it happens for some of the cheeses, so again, maybe you'll get confused, you'll do the wrong one. So it seems like it's better, according to those posts, that you should wait 6 hours, even for yellow cheese. However, again, as we said before, you know, many posts can disagree. Even in the Tzur Merabanan book later, so he mentions, I mentioned before, Rav Aaron Cutler disagrees. The OU for sure doesn't hold that way. The Rav of Tanuva, who's now the Rav of Alon Shvud, also Rav Vitman. So he also, I think he's in writing saying he doesn't agree with that.
But the yellow cheese?
The yellow cheese. So Lachlan Ma'aseh, if you ask most people today, I think most people are Makil that don't wait. They don't wait 6 hours for yellow cheese. Everybody that I know is Makil, including myself. What'd you say?
They're not basically going to taste this based on just the amount of time.
So it's based on the combination of the taste and, you know, the fact that there might be pieces of cheese in your mouth. But they don't necessarily follow the shach. Meaning what they say about the shach is that when the shach that we saw says 6 months, he doesn't mean 6 months. He means a cheese with a strong taste. Mm-hmm. Okay? But they say maybe the yellow cheese is strong also, or that some cheeses are strong and you're going to get confused. You might get the wrong one, or you might not know which one is which. Since you're not sure, we have to be machmer. That's basically what they're saying. Again, but I think the custom is to be makil. And if you ask me, I think we could be makil on this point. I don't think you have to wait. But if it's one of the things we know is strong, you know, Swiss cheese, or one of the things that we know is, you know, very, very strong taste, or was definitely aged for 6 months, so l'chori have to be machmir. If you're going to be...
Tov lachmir.
What's that?
Tov lachmir.
Tov lachmir. Okay, fine. Tov lachmir. The Rama says that Tov lachmir. Good. There's some that are makil anyway, even if you accept the chumra of that. Right. Yeah, that's also true. Good. In terms of the Sfardim, so they quote here as a machlokus, but among the Sfardim what to do also. Rav Avadia apparently felt the maker then you could make it on cheese bichlal. I mean, for Sfardim, they don't hold the chumra of the Ramah, and you don't have to wait 6 hours. Okay? He says some people are, you know, maybe that you could if you want to be machmir, but he says strictly speaking, you don't have to be machmir for svardim. You can do like everything else. You don't have to wait 6 hours. The Ben Ish Chai seems to say that it depends on which kind of cheese. The hard cheeses, he seems to say that like the ramah you should wait 6 hours for, and some of the other ones maybe less so. So again, among the svardim also there's different customs. If you're machmir for six months. So then, 6 hours, sorry, 6 hours for 6 month cheese. So there's a machlokas also about the pita cheese we mentioned before. Okay? If you have cheese which is melted, does that make it any better or does it make it worse? So, I don't know, if I asked you, would you think that melted cheese has more of a chance of being stuck in between your teeth or less chance? You think less chance? Okay. You agree? More chance. Okay.
Sticky.
The type of teeth you have.
Okay. Yeah. So again, I don't know. I could hear both ways. Okay. I could hear both ways. Some cheese is very sticky. If it's hot and it's melted, mm-hmm. It could be very sticky. But at the same time, a lot of the post can say, "What is that?"
Broke pizza.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Next week.
Practical.
Anybody wants to sponsor pizza for next week? We're open.
It's 98 degrees in your mouth.
Something fleshy.
Right.
So once you eat a melted cheese, it's not going to get congealed.
And wine and bread.
Right.
In your mouth.
Right. So you're saying it's not going to get stuck in between your teeth. So I say that. So probably you're right. It probably won't get stuck between your teeth, but the taste might be pretty strong. Again, a lot of the posts can agree with you. A lot of the posts can say that you don't have to worry about it being stuck between your teeth if it's a piece of cheese.
But it doesn't say, once it melts, it doesn't say hard. It doesn't say smelly cheese. It says hard cheese.
You're right.
Meaning, that sounds like a chumrah and a chumrah.
You're probably right. Meaning, to begin with, I'll tell you the way that it started. We didn't read it inside, but if you read source number 7 from Agos Ashri, the whole chumrah is based on the Maharam, the Maharam of Rotenberg. Okay, I'm going to skim it. I'm going to summarize it. I'm going to read it inside. Basically, the Maharam of Rotenberg, that's where the whole thing started. Basically, he said that at one point he thought that that you shouldn't, you don't have to wait after eating cheese. Meaning, he felt like the Shulchan Aruch, he says, he's before the Shulchan Aruch, he says, what's the big deal? Okay, just wash out your mouth. You don't have to wait at all. Okay, he thinks that he says, I saw people that did wait, and I think it's wrong. And then he says, one time, guess what happened to me? He says, I found cheese in my teeth after I was already eating meat. I mean, I ate cheese, and then I ate meat right away, and I discovered pieces of cheese in between my teeth. And you can imagine how the Maharam of Rotenberg felt, not like one of us, who would just say, okay, fine. Fetal b'shishim. Right. Not l'chadchila. But, he says that I got to do something about that. So he says, I decided for myself, I'm going to be machmir. Whenever I eat cheese, I'm going to wait 6 hours.
I thought he'd make sure he cleans his teeth better.
Also good. Maybe he should clean his teeth better. All right.
That's what the Ramah is based on?
So that's what the Ramah is based on. It's a little different than the Ramah because he's talking about all kinds of cheese here, not just hard cheese. Mm-hmm. The Ramah sort of took his chumrah and limited it down to hard cheese. Okay. But that's where it's based on. Okay, so you're right. It's basically a chumrah and a chumrah because the whole thing is based on the chumrah of the Maharam, which he did for himself, personal chumrah, that the Ramah sort of took it to a chumrah for everybody, but he limited it in terms of being hard cheese. And even the Ramah himself says some people are mekel, but it's good to be machmir. So I think what you're saying makes sense, that even if, say there's a question about the melted cheese or whatever.
Say anything about Tom. Where do you see that?
It's unclear. You're right. So the Tom, again.
Maybe that's what Kavina Kasha means.
Here we see blue cheese, which is probably the stinkiest cheese on this list. Is a 4 month,
right.
4.5 month.
Right.
So, forget about 6 months. Blue cheese, it should say a stinky cheese.
Kavina
Kasha. Very strong taste. Very
right.
Smelly.
Right. So again,
means,
right.
Smell. Okay,
so again, what they say basically is based on the Shach, who says 6 months. So what some of the Achronim say based on that is that 6 months doesn't mean 6 months. It means a very strong tasting cheese. And the idea seems to be that maybe the taste will be strong in your mouth. Okay. Again, it's not so clear. But I'm saying there is such an idea that maybe that's
meaning if that was the implication. I mean, we're generally very particular in halacha,
right?
And if that was the implication, it would have been said.
So you're right. That's why it's not so clear, and that's why many posts don't accept that. I'm saying there's what to base that on, but you're right. It's not 100% clear, and it seems like the main question is really to have a separation and to make sure there's no pieces of actual residue left in your mouth. Okay, that seems to be the basis here. The last point that we didn't mention is what happens if, can you brush your teeth in between instead of washing out your mouth and eating bread and drink, can you brush your teeth in between instead? Was there? So I think, I forgot where I saw this, maybe the Chai Adam, I saw somebody that I think that said that if you want to actually brush your teeth in between, then maybe that actually fulfills all the conditions also. Okay? Because brushing your teeth makes sure you get the pieces out, it makes sure there's no residue left, and there's also, there's a little liquid, exactly right, so everything is basically covered. Right. What did you say?
Mm.
So it could be rice. That's the only question. Maybe if you only brush your teeth and you don't floss, would that count also? It could be that it counts. I don't know. Maybe it depends on how well you brush your teeth. I'm not sure. I don't know. But definitely for brushing your teeth and flossing, for sure, if you prefer to do that.
You don't swallow it. Right. What do you do with the food? Right.
So that's also machlokas. I didn't have a chance to talk about that. There's machlokas whether you have to swallow it or not. Some people say you do, but some people say you don't have to swallow it. But anyway, if you take care of everything, maybe you don't need to if you cover all the spots anyway. Okay, we'll stop here. Just a 30-second thought on the parsha, which I didn't have a chance to ask anybody else to say. It says that Vayu Chaye Sarah, that Sarah's life was Me'a Shana, 100 years, Ve'Ashrim Shana, and 20 years, and Shalosh Shanim, okay, and 7 years. And Rashi says each one was, you know, was the same. She didn't sin the entire time. She didn't sin during 100 years, she didn't sin during 20 years, she didn't sin during 7 years, she was beautiful for the 100 years, beautiful for 20 years, even when she was much older, she was also very beautiful. So some person want to say that part of what you learn from this is that every stage of your life should be, you know, as ideal and as pure and as new as it was at the very beginning, okay? Meaning each stage of life you have to look at with the excitement that you started your life with, and each stage of life has to be looked at individually, okay? You can't just be thinking when you're 100 years old or when you're 50 years old, whatever, I wish I was 20, I don't look the same, I don't feel the same. So, you know, basically you have to look at every stage of life and say, what do I have to do at this stage? What's my goal at this stage? And how can I make myself, you know, excited about this stage of life and do whatever I need to do? What's my job that Akash Baruch wants us to accomplish at that stage of life? And Hashem, we should all be able to get to somewhere a little bit of where Sarah got to during her life.
Pizza next week.